Today we're going to talk about impact and influence, and specifically getting ready for the assignment to talk about the impact and influence of your soul center, if you already have an existing one and you're registering it, or if you're registering a new one, to get into your mind how to sort of track its influence and impact. Now, some people, I remember when I planted a church, a church is one of our religious associations here at Soul Center, way back in 1988. And, you know, I remember we did this large telemarketing campaign. We were very concerned about, you know, getting people in the door. And I remember on our first service, we had 185 people that showed up, 85 souls that came to check it out. And then the next week it went down to, like, you know, 130, and then it went down to 80, and from then it built back up again. And I remember just, like, feeling so disappointed that we were focused on that number, that I felt defeated. It went from, like, 185 to less than 100. In time it grew and grew and grew. And I had to come to grips with impact. And I remember one of my mentors, Marty Ozinga, who now has passed away. He served on the board for many years here at Christian Leaders. He talked about the importance of impact and influence, and helped me as a young leader to not contend against that, that ultimately, you know, receive feedback. Have a idea to count who's there, who's not there. You don't have to feel bad about if the numbers are lower or more. And he talked about how to receive the evaluation and let it influence you on whether or not you're spending your time appropriately. Is it worth the efforts? What can you learn? Are you being effective? What is the Holy Spirit telling you about this? And now, he was a businessman, and he said that for himself, we learned not to contend with these things. It just made him a more effective steward as a leader. So when we're talking about soul centers, it's to sort of get the culture here at soul centers that we want evaluation. One of the definitions of religious societies is that they have society members. Now, that's getting to be more dicey. I mean, it used to be really clear when I was first a church planter and I was in the Christian Reformed denomination, they want us to send our directory of people who signed up and put their name down so they could send out literature from the denomination, even though many of them were brand new to Christianity, had no idea what the Christian Reformed Church was about. And here we were giving their name and address, sending it to Grand Rapids, Michigan. We were in Chicagoland, and there was this real sense of, like, membership and all that. Now, today, that's so different, and I'll refer back to that later on this presentation. Today, there's a sense of confidentiality in privacy policies. You're not sharing lists. So in a lot of ways, the assessment of who are members of your society is very confidential and private. But that does not mean that that's not recognized and looked at sincerely as something that can help you and also give credibility for your religious society beyond your own area. Before we get into this, let's dive into seeing that this is in the Bible. So establish you have a existing soul center foundation or you are planting one. Now, I love Romans 15, how the Apostle Paul, he says, it's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. That's a whole section of the Apostle Paul talking about his priestly duties to proclaim the gospel by what he has said and done. But that not building on someone else's foundation is interesting to me. That the call of God to each of us is a specific foundation that we're called to do. In other words, you know, when I see the word foundation there, I see the word soul center. That you're building your soul center and not building on someone else's soul center. And that all of this is awesome and wonderful. So the role of tracking impact. Acts 9 verse 31, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Now, in some ways, Luke, the writer of Acts, could just say there was a time of peace and the Holy Spirit grew things. Or the Holy Spirit was there. No, it says the church grew in numbers. Now, again, look at the privacy policy respected. No names and addresses. It was acknowledgement that there was an effective impact of the gospel. There was credibility and effectiveness. Acts 11, verse 26, and when he found him, brought him to Antioch. This is now Barnabas, who found the apostle Paul, that in those days called Saul. For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great number of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Again, we see a teaching society is formed here, and this teaching society has created a name. That name was Christian. And notice, too, the numbers. It was effective. People were definitely impacted. Now, when you start doing this in today's world, there's all these ratings and reviews. And humans do this, both positive and negative. And I want to alert you to something negative here. So Acts 19, verse 26, and you see how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. Okay, so here we have accusations against Paul at Ephesus, and you know, here's the accuser saying, hey, you know, here's a bad report. And good reports, bad reports, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about how we as leaders go through all sorts of trials, and one of them is good report or bad report. Christian Leaders Institute, you know, is fascinating with the online, let's just face it, we are in a very democratic world where ratings and all of that are everywhere. And again, like I mentioned earlier about numbers, we can contend against keeping track of impact, but we can also contend against reports. But they're going to happen. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, you know, in good report or bad report, we are going to have this. And I always feel like the bad report helps me grow. The bad report tests my faith. We have bad report and ratings and reviews. I, you know, that's interesting about Christian Leaders, whether it's the Institute, the college, or the Alliance, and people. We love it when you get a good report, but we get some bad reports as well for various reasons. And we try to, you know, do the best we can to answer a question or even make something right, but we are, you know, broken vessels, and all of these things. When you plant your soul center, know that that's all part of it. These are things that are going to happen. So a soul center is really an organization, and to organize and to promote producing interactions. Look at Acts 28, verse 23. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus Christ from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Now, I this is like about impact and influence, about arranging of meetings, taking intentional time to set up an organization, to promote what you're doing in the area, to get a soul center plan, and whatever soul center you're called to do. You know, a lot of times we think about house churches and churches as sort of, that's Christianity or that's the denomination. That's just one of the societies of a soul center. And we know if you take the church planting class at Christian Leaders Institute or the house church planting at Christian Leaders Institute, there is a lot of organization and promotion that goes on to make that passage true. One more thing that, as we think of soul centers, is the power of expectations. You know, in general, as you go through your influence and impact plan, you know, under promote and over deliver, Acts 16, verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went out of the city gate to the river where we were expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. You know, throughout, I did a search on the word expected, and I found that to be so interesting that in as you develop your soul center and as you evaluate the impact or the intended impact, kind of always keep that in mind. I remember when I was first in church planting, I so wanted to please my, you know, denominational leaders and the leaders of the church that I would always see through the glasses, you know, half full no matter what. So, you know, if 185 people came, it also included the nursery, the children in the nursery, and everything like that. At the service, there may have been 150 that are in worship. And I would, you know, if I look back at that, you know, it would have been better to say, yeah, between one, you know, we didn't count too much, you know, and, you know, yeah, 150 were in the worship service, and we had children in the nursery and all of these other things like that. Now, when I say that is because I got a lot of criticism because there was somebody in the back who is counting the exact everything, but then did not go in the nursery, and then that became a bad report. So if I've learned anything over the years is make sure the numbers are as accurate as possible and under, you know, don't inflate anything, even in your enthusiasm. And I tell you, that is one of the things that hurt me as a young minister and as a soul center, as we share the impact, is to have an honest assessment. You know, now again, and by saying this, I'm not saying like become freaked out or so worried, but I'm saying in general, have the expectation of trying to be, if you estimate, on the low side, not the high side. So as you put together your plan for impact and influence, also too, just the concept of recent numbers and reviews, the impact of rains, reports, and reviews, I think we should not underestimate this either. Luke 7, verse 22, so he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Before I talked about how bad reports are going to come and bad ratings are going to come, this is the opposite side. There will be good reports and good ratings. And, you know, if you're ministering in a soul center, it is totally appropriate to have someone give your soul center a rating and a positive review. And to say, you know, if this has changed and impacted your life, give us a positive review in your soul center. We don't think anything of a restaurant being reviewed. This is about soul food, about the body and the spirit being connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, that the whole heart, mind, emotions, everything, will, all is for the Lord. There was going to be negative reports, but there's nothing inappropriate at all about encouraging the positive report. I mean, we even see that back to this pastor. I think it's so interesting. Go back and report. There's a sense of this is an intentional thing. Go back and report. So what you're going to be doing to prepare for this assignment is to do, you know, we're getting accreditation for the Christian Leaders College, and they're talking about doing self-studies or doing, you know, self-aware studies of the college. And in many ways, in soul centers, and even now this first time as you register, but even further times, as we're asking that every 3 years, if you don't update things like every year or whatever, for sure, in a three-year period, we really want that soul center material for sure updated. But ideally, whatever numbers change or impact change, go ahead and, you know, log back in and edit the updated numbers. The more updating you can be, the more credible you can be. So here are some of the questions that need to be looked at as you reflect on your impact and influence self-aware study, your study. So as you are getting through this class, the first question, you already probably know that's why you're here, but I'll just go through it. These are the questions. What type of soul center are you registering? Is this new or existing? Now, if it's new, put new, because you're just starting something out. If it's existing and you're already doing this and now you just want to make it a formalized process. So what are societies? Societies are formalizing an effort by a credentialed leader who wants to put their stake in the ground and say, this is a thing in this community. Okay. Now, if it's new and you don't have anything, you can say, new, this is the goal and this is what we're looking for. If it's already happening and you want to register it, then it's very appropriate to talk about the impact that is there. How many people, and that goes into these next questions, how many people recognize your credentials? Okay, let me back up on this too. Okay, so how are you going to get the numbers to reflect upon your soul center? Okay, so these are the types of self-study you do as you get ready to complete this assignment of sharing with your community the impact of your soul center. So how many people recognize your credentials and your roles in their lives as ministers? That is, they come to events you are initiating or leading. They contact you to share prayer requests, and they contact you with you in a ministry-related way. So I'm registering a soul center. My wife and I run a soul center in Clearwater, Florida, the Victorious Life Fellowship, we call it. And this soul center, we are members at Harborside Christian Church, but we also are very active in, as volunteers, outside of and more than my work at Christian Leaders, that we are going to have a registered religious society, a soul center in our circle of influence. So part of that, you know, whether it's for my golfing friends and families, whether it's for my condo neighbors and all of that, it is clear that I am a credentialed minister. In fact, at the Christmas party, I've been asked to do a little devotion and share a prayer. And what I'm what I can do too is do like maybe next year in February or March, I'll do a 5-week study about a topic, or we'll do a little Bible study. Now, I'm a full-time minister of the gospel leading Christian Leaders, Christian Leaders Alliance. But I still have in my local area a soul center that is practicing the faith in various ways. So as you look at your impact, how many people recognize your credentials? Number three, how many did you contact with in-personal conversations about God in ministry transformation in the past? So I have contacted many people in my community, or I'll even ask, did somebody need prayer? If you know me very long, you will find out that I am a minister and that I consider you in my relational flock. In fact, I'll even joke around and have. Just the other day after a round of golf, the head of the group said, he's a pastor. And I go, thanks a lot, Bob. I'm the pastor of this group. And the whole table, giggled and laughed. And then Bob, the head of it, said, he's our pastor. Okay. And then I said, so if any of you need prayer requests or anything like that, and it's just really interesting what happens there. Then some people give me their phone information. So many are not going to church, but they somehow have a sense of God. They know they have a soul. So what happens is you begin developing a relational soul center, even if somebody is not doing much yet, but they know that you are a minister. Get a plan, and how will you share your soul center link as you minister in the local religion, in your local society? So, what I'm going to be doing once the soul center is totally operational, so I'm putting this class getting ready for its complete launch, is as I share my contact information with people, I'm just going to text them the link to my soul center. And I'm going to mention that, hey, I have a little soul center. It's a little bit informal, but it's registered with Christian Leaders Alliance. So I send the link, and they can see the various things that I offer to the community. When and how does your soul center meet or practice religious activities? For example, are you one of the leaders in a Bible study? Is this a community one or at a church? When and where? Many soul center leaders are going to a church, and they might be leading a small group at the church that they invite people their community to. In my case, I also am one of the key leaders on a team of a Bible study that occurs at Bel Air Country Club in Bel Air, Florida. And so what happens there is I am on that team. Many times we'll lead. Many times I'll encourage others to lead. They all know we have two ministers in this group, Ted, who is a Salvation Army minister, and myself, that we are credentialed ministers. Ted has his own church. I go to Harborside, like I said to you. I have a Bible study at Bel Air. But everybody knows I'm a minister. I've already done pastoral counseling to a couple of the people who are not attending any churches right now, but are Christians. But since that time, I've encouraged them to find a church. And also, they're at the Bible study. Now, again, you may say, this is not the way Christianity was 20 years ago. It's not. But we are introducing it everywhere, that in every village, in every town, in every place, and as credentialed ministers, we're in the position to do so. How many people do you have contact numbers connected to you as a credentialed minister or in your soul center? If someone called people in your reported contact list, would they know you are a minister. Now, when I talk about reported contact lists, don't share that list with everybody. Remember the privacy expectations. But what I've done is I've looked through my list in my phone to see who I know that knows I'm a minister and have there been interactions and encounters. So in my soul center, the Victorious Life Fellowship of Clearwater, I, as a volunteer minister, not paid to be this minister, am I exercising my gifts? And have I registered this in a way that I can share this? Now, each soul center will be somewhat different. If you're the church planter, that's a different type of soul center where it has more of the traditional feel. Your lists, you know, you have like a directory, church directory, and all of that. If you're developing a ministry practice, that's going to, in a lot of ways, feel like a practice, like a doctor's practice or a counseling practice. That's going to be different. If you're doing more of an online type of association, you might track how many people are followers of your online soul center, and is there a personal interaction? But even your online soul center will have a personal geographic address that puts you in the society. In each one of them, if you have a mentor center, you know, the School of Tyrannius, you know, there you have it. You're going to be, you know, it's in this location. How many people actually are you mentoring in your mentor center? So all of this becomes just incredible and wonderful. So we're going to ask you to put numbers on your profile. Report what you found out in your impact and influence study. Remember, confidentiality and privacy is to be highly respected. So what we want you to do is we want you to sort of share just a number of people that you're ministering to in your registered religious society, your soul center. If it's new, just give like a hope. Hope to be ministering to, you know, 20 people, or if it's a Bible study, and you could even separate that, you know, 20 people involved in the Bible study, ministering to, you know, 50 people in my condo area, or whatever that is. Or you just give one number. Well, the reason we're talking about this is because it's getting us used to impact and being comfortable with impact and kind of thinking that in the end we're here that the gospel of Jesus Christ goes forward. Now, what if you say, I don't want to put any numbers down whatsoever? That's fine too. You know, I put this down. I believe something like this is a blessing, that you do assessments. I know back to the Christian Leaders College, you know, we have to put down how many people are involved, how many graduates. And I remember asking the accreditation person, why is that necessary? He said, well, because it's an excellent exercise. It tells you what is happening. It tells the public, and as much transparency on this as possible. Now, I was raised in my background to never brag and all these other things like that, and I have had to get over some of this because, you know, this was considered, no, you don't talk about success. That's the Lord. He gets the glory on that, so don't even talk about it. I'm not saying that avoiding the subject makes us more humble. I'm saying is be transparent about it. You're about growing. And God gets all the glory here. If things are going well, God gets all the glory. If things are going poorly, God is with us through it. He gets the glory even then. So as you look at establishing your soul center, get in that mindset of how are you tracking whether or not this is something that is a stewardly use of your time. Get into the assessment thing, not to do analysis paralysis, but it helps you and the public get an idea that, you know, you are in a community. Now, government officials want to know this. They may check you out and to see if you're real, and if they see that you're impacting the community in your soul center, that's a huge bonus. It establishes a report for your community as they themselves, if you send a link and they see, oh, wow, you know, 20 people, you know, are part of this credentialed minister's life, you know, it also creates a certain amount of credibility and trust. So go ahead and complete your study and then do this assignment as you finish establishing and registering your soul center.